The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor By, good afternoon. We're on Man in Line open line today. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. So whatever's on your mind, you can let the nation know by getting in touch. Just a quick word to our podcast audience. Lots and lots of people around the world listen to Man in Line as a podcast, not in real time, obviously. So if you're listening as a podcast any time of day or night, anywhere around the world, by all means, do get in touch. You can email maninline@manxradio.com. Tell me where you are, what you're up to, and what you get from Man in Line. Lots of expats listen to Man in Line right around the world. Let's get to the phones now. Howard's with us first today. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Your podcasts I use them quite often. And I saw something the other day on that. There's something over like 600 and odd podcasts on the system now with Manx Radio, which is quite a phenomenal amount for a large station for a small island.
Well, you'll be there forever listening to a lot of them as well. And I have to tell you that our tenacious Tim has been going through our archive, and we're gradually digitising a lot of the archive. There's so much stuff. And because we've been on the air since 1964, we got a lot of stuff. And so I can tell you there's going to be a lot of stuff that'll be released into the public domain in the next year or so. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, because David Collister, the late David Collister, he brought out cassette tapes with his, I can't remember what the name of his program now. What was in Kelly's Eye, was it?
No, I think it was Time to Remember or something.
That's it. But I've got some of his tapes upstairs, the old ones when David was going around the island and with his little... I saw him with his, many times, with his recording box, a little leather box with the equipment in it, strapped around his neck, like one of the old gas mask holders.
Yes.
going around the country, going around the island. But that's, as I say, that's a living history.
Well, that's really, we've got lots. And I have to say, I must pay great tribute to Manx National Heritage, who are digitising the newspapers, because some of the stuff you can get to the newspapers free of charge on the Eye Museums, absolutely fantastic. So a lot available.
I've done it. And as you rightly say, the Eye Museum were excellent. I've got it on a USB stick. It was the Mourners Herald, June, the first week in June 1940, and it was when the Mourners Queen was sunk, when she was bombed, the Manx boat, and she went down in about a minute and a half in Dunkirk. And I've got that, and I've had it made up by a printing company here in a full-size paper. And when Michelle Haywood had her exhibition down there at Port St. Mary, I put copies down there, and it gives a full copy of the actual newspaper that was produced at the time, with names and photographs of the ones the crew said that all perished. But yes, the Eye Museum is a wonderful piece of kit. But what I was coming on for, it's something that's been rumbling for most of your week, the disappearing services of clinics on the island.
Yeah.
And I've just taken, about an hour or so ago, I rang up one of the companies on the island here, a private company, asking, do they take NHS referrals? And they said, no, we don't. We are a private company. They were, the girl was pleasant, very helpful. And we don't. We are a private company. But their fee is for earwax removal is anywhere between £40 and £80, which I suppose is a standard because my wife's sister just had the same thing in Northern Ireland, and she had to go to Specsavers. They're doing the hearing treatments. But at the same time, I've got a cousin, he's 72, type 1 diabetes, and has been suffering from epilepsy most of his, if not, well, all of his adult life. And he used to go down to the chiropody down there at the Old Nobles Hospital. And he went one day and they just cancelled him and said, we're not doing it anymore. This is going back even a couple of years. And he can't possibly, he's now on a walking frame, and he can't possibly get down to cut his toenails safely. And being a type 1 diabetes, he's got to be careful, ultra careful. He has no feeling in his feet now because his nerve ends and his legs are not getting any better. The nerve ends are going in them. But this is the chiropody down there, and they said, no, we're not doing it anymore. You're taken off the list. Well, I said, well, don't stand for that. And he did. He stood up and fought his corner, and he was eventually put back on. But why is there nobody in Tynwald? They're so busy asking about the bishop's vote and all this stupid thing. Why has nobody stood up and said to the Minister of Health, give me a detailed list of what Manx Care have done away with to cut their costs?
Well, of course, I mean, you're quite right. There's a difference between cosmetic treatment and clinical treatment, Howard.
Certainly there is. And you're not paying, well, you shouldn't be paying through your taxes and national insurance for cosmetic treatment. That is not the basis of it. It was for health treatment, not cosmetic treatment. But again, nobody's saying it. It's going to be very, very quiet. They're just sneaking these things in, and it's getting less and less what the clinics are doing around the island, and more that was going to private business. As you know, I said myself, I had to, in September, go private to have an operation done. And my sister had to go private to get her ears done. We are, through our own choice, private for dental. But there's so much of this is getting taken out of the hospital system, the health system, that soon the island is going to be virtually all private.
Well, it might just be nice to know, Howard, what's what with all this? That, you know, what is going to be covered, and what are you on your own for?
Yeah, this is what I was asking. Why won't somebody stand up and ask the Minister of Health what the Manx Care are doing? They seem to be running a business up there on the private health service within Nobles Hospital. And it seems to be a fully fledged private health service within the island's health service. So somebody else to stand up instead of bushwhacking out there in the Parliament, get in there and ask a question that interests the people that's here on the island. Because you work out that somebody of my age and having their ears de-waxed, £40 to £80 is a week's groceries for them, or a heating bill. So they're taking this away from people who, over their life in work, have paid for it. It's getting a silly system now, and the people that's in Parliament are on such a good wage, and the doctors are on a good wage. They're just not interested in what you're only something on the shelf for them that brings in money.
Well, I think we need to know who's making the decision, because somebody mentioned earlier on this week, Kensington Group Practice do ear syringes, other practices do syringing. So which ones do, which ones don't, and why do the ones don't? Why don't they do it? What's the reason, and who's made the decision? I mean, two things you brought up, obviously ear syringing, ear cleaning, and podiatry services.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are, they're not Cinderella services. This isn't, as I say, this is not, nobody's getting a foot massage or a pedicure. This is for clinical reasons.
That's right. Well, there used to be an old lady downside of us. She's long since gone now, but she used to have a chiropodist come up to the house because she was unable to get down to where the place was. Occasionally he would come up, not all the time. I used to take it down, but sometimes I might have been away or something on an appointment. But having said that, they were there, and they were always helpful to people. Nowadays, it seems to be so much trouble to do anything for you. You know, it's almost if you ask them to give you the lottery numbers. But, well, that's what you are, you're on the lottery. But somebody stand up, for God's sake, in our parliament, in our government, and ask the health minister to put it in a system where the people in the street can understand why and what the clinics on the island, who are paid by the Manx Care through our money, paid to provide a service to the people on the island.
Okay, all right. Now we will try and get to the bottom of that. Thanks for calling
today. I wish you luck.
All right, thanks for calling today. It's when you say ear syringing and podiatry and toenail cutting, it sounds kind of lighthearted, doesn't it? Sounds like a bit of a joke. But it's not. It's not. If this originally was done under the National Health, if Manx Care were mandated to do it, and now some do and some don't, it's a bit like the Okie Cokie, in, out, shake it all about. Which ones do, which ones don't, and who's made the decision that people don't do it? Just let's know what the rationale is behind all this. And Betty's with us now. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Andy. First of all, I'd like to agree with most of what Howard says, you know, about healthcare and what we are able to use these days. But the reason I've come on is because I want to make an addendum to my remarks yesterday. I have a couple of questions, really. I'd like to know what has caused the number of volunteers who feel that they had to leave age concern. So what's happening at age concern?
Yeah, you mentioned yesterday quite a few people who aren't there anymore. Is that right?
Yes, they've left more or less all at once. And I just want to know what's happening at age concern. I feel something is going on. And is management involved? Is management at fault? I think questions need answering. And I do have to declare an interest. And I don't know the answers. That's why I'm asking the questions, since I am one of the volunteers who decided to leave, because I just felt things weren't, they weren't the same, and they weren't, I didn't like what was happening.
What is it? Is it some sort of new regime, Betty? What is it?
It's not entirely a new regime, no. But things have changed, and volunteers haven't been told what's going on, really. And I think I just can't agree with some of the things that have happened and what has been done. I just can't agree with it at all.
Well, has the place changed? I mean, in what way is it different?
Well, some people have been banned and some people have been asked to leave, and I don't agree with it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll try and find out. I mean, obviously age concern, or is it called, what's it called these days, Betty?
It's called age concern.
Is it still called age concern? I thought they'd dropped the concern bit.
Some people, well, one person in particular who has worked there as a volunteer for a very long time, I don't think she's been treated well, whatever she said or did, because she's done so much work for the charity. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, all right, we don't need to get you into trouble, Betty.
I might have got myself into trouble, I don't know, but what can they do to me? I've decided to leave.
Right.
They can't put me in prison or anything.
All right. Okay, Betty, we'll see. We'll ask some questions and see what comes out.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good to hear from you. Thank you, Betty. 21 minutes past 12. Does anybody know what's going on at Age Concern then? And regarding the iMuseum, I must say hi to Alan, who said, yes, the iMuseum is absolutely fantastic. I spend a lot of time on the iMuseum website researching the old newspapers. And I have to say, do you remember just before Christmas, we were talking about Ian Cottier, our brass band presenter, who played in a match in the 1954-55 football season when Russian United got thwacked by RAF Derby. And he maintained there was a professional footballer who played for RAF Derby and went on to play for Manchester United. And we found out it was Warren Bradley, who played at the time, I think he was for Bolton when he did national service. But eventually, after the Munich air disaster, Matt Busby got him to Manchester United, and Warren Bradley played for not only Manchester United but for England, and he represented RAF Derby in the 1954-55 season. And I must thank the people who sent me a copy of the Green Final from that day, which is on the iMuseum. You can find it, the Green Final, and it sent the whole team and a report of there. That's the sort of stuff that there is on the iMuseum, absolutely free of charge. Fantastic. Embarrassing that the Isle of Man, that we should make headlines this morning on BBC Northwest News regarding damp and mould in rented accommodation on the island and how tenants have no rights. In fact, they're worse off than tenants in the UK. There's no law on the Isle of Man to prevent things like this happening and to protect tenants. But never mind, we'll just debate the bishop's vote. We need to prioritise what is happening on the Isle of Man, says Pam. I've used the facility for reporting issues on the Isle of Man, such as potholes. I receive replies for most of the pothole or bad road reports, but a lot of them say the issue won't be dealt with for the foreseeable future. The road by the old Balaf Church at the Cronk is in an appalling condition, but they say it's not necessary thoroughfare. Therefore, it won't be dealt with for a long time. Is that so? The road goes by one of the island's heritage sites, a treasured site. The road into Peel from Kirkmichael is very bad, but there's coal tar under it, so that won't be done until a way of dealing with the coal tar is sorted out. Lots of excuses, but not much repairing where it's really needed, says Sue in Balaf. Stand up to attention, circle the date in your diary. Today, the 15th of January, is National Pothole Day, and teams from infrastructure are out all over the Isle of Man trying to keep on top of one of the biggest complaints from motorists. Bent axles, bent wheels, broken tyres. Max Radio's John Moss has been examining the Isle of Man's response to the plague of potholes.
We're on the Orisdale Road. With me is Paul Morley. How do you decide which road to go to, which pothole to deal with?
Well, these, John, using the jet patcher, this is based on programmed works. So priority one works is where we get works who come through customer service, and they'll be treated within 24 hours. So that could be anywhere, either.
Would that have to be deemed as dangerous to cars, or?
Yes, it would meet the criteria.
Right.
It would meet a criteria. So on the carriageway, if it was 40 mil or more deep, then we'd be looking then to repair that within the 24 hours.
Some people might say this is a back road. Why not deal with the main roads all the time and just leave these to get on with themselves?
Well, this has been done at this time of day due to the fact of we're utilising the vehicle and the machinery where there's very little traffic at the moment.
It's early on, early-ish on a Wednesday, so let's go with Dave.
The process is we come along, we blow all the debris out with the compressed air, and we put the tack coat.
Morning.
We put the tack coat down, as we call it, and then we put a, then we turn the stone on with the tack still coming out, and it coats the stone, and then we put a dry stone on top.
We've moved north to Premier Road, which is next to the new hotel in Ramsey. Paul is with me. This is a different sort of patching work. Now, what are you actually doing here? It's a square.
We cut the square out so it's nice and square, because this road isn't too bad as some of them. So, and then we've tacked it, and then we'll put tarmac in that.
You say it's not too bad, but there's, if you look at the road, there's been patching, a lot of patching work done. I suppose it is a vulnerable road. It can.
Well, we'll put it down on the system. We've make this safe.
Yeah.
And then eventually it goes down to a patching crew, where hopefully the whole road gets done, because it's all cracked, you see. So there's water getting in them cracks all the time.
Well, any thoughts on this? Have you got any potholes near you that haven't been touched for ages and ages? Of course, one of the issues, there are a lot of unadopted roads on the Isle of Man, which nobody in particular is responsible for. There's some private roads on the Isle of Man that have got potholes. So obviously, the DOI can't touch those. I just wonder how you approach that. If you've got any experience of getting stuff done on a private road or an unadopted road, what happens there? The stuff they patch the holes with is useless, says Big J. They did the estate in Port Erin. It only lasted a few weeks. The potholes are worse than ever, they say. The stuff, this one, dentists used to be in schools as well. Balakameen had a dentist in the 1970s, and they would carry out checks, tooth extractions and fillings for school children. If this practice were still in operation, it would be a big help with the oral health of the children of today. You used to religiously clean your teeth as a child so you wouldn't have to visit the school dentist, which was an horrific experience. Nuffield progressive therapy, aversion therapy. Yet it also had a profound effect on children learning to look after their teeth. It will be a great idea if the government brought this practice back. And you can hear the chorus of people saying, who's going to pay for it then, if you do that? But it is true, there used to be schools dentists. The lower part of Somerset Road in Douglas is in a bad way. Also, Woodburn Road in the vicinity of Murray's Road is terrible. The roads really, comparatively, are a disgrace to what they used to be. Manx motorists pay at least £20 million into the coffers every year from road tax, fuel and tax on servicing and insurance, yet only £6 million is spent on the roads. So that's Alan's calculation, that the government is £14 million to the good after what's paid by motorists and what is spent on the roads. Manx Care is cutting back on preventative services, and checks seems a false economy. An example of them is not providing annual diabetic eye clinic checks, podiatry checks, which may lead to a loss of sight or limb amputations, says Gas. It's not just services on the periphery like podiatry being stopped or reduced. It's core services too. School nurse numbers have been slashed, so identifying things like poor eyesight or hearing in school-aged children no longer happens the way it did, and health visitors have had their ability to see babies and mothers curtailed. These are short-sighted, cost-cutting measures, says Texter 475. No thought about how prevention is actually better and cheaper than treatment. I love
to drive. Drive smarter. Drive more reliable. Drive a great deal at Manin Motors. With a superb range of cars for every budget, always available. And if we don't have it, we'll source it. Plus, servicing, valeting and prestige detailing too. Manin Motors. Richmond Hill, Douglas. Find us on Facebook or call 420-420. That's 420-420. Drive a better bargain at Manin Motors.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
For a wide range of wood-burning stoves and a complete installation service, visit The Snug in Ramsey. And we don't stop there. kiln-dried firewood and full aftercare service, including chimney sweeps and maintenance. Call The Snug in Ramsey.
Make your New Year's resolutions stick. Come to Nicola Bowker & Co. for all your business support, from accounts and tax to payroll and startups. Nicola Bowker & Co. We can help you reach your goals in 2026.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Riding for the Disabled Isle of Man is a self-funded, volunteer-run charity that provides positive horse riding experiences for over 150 of our island's residents with additional needs, making smiles and building confidence and skills for life. We're always looking for volunteers, sponsors and fundraisers. Find us on Facebook or call 315 739.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Tricky situations can be solved better in a relaxed space with fresh eyes.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
Imagine arriving at your favourite beach or beauty spot. It's early morning and it's just you. Ready to feel good.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman, and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
29 minutes before one. My husband has his ears syringed just before Christmas at the Southern Group practice. Very nice practice nurse who carried out the procedure said he was lucky to have this done, as the Southern Group practice weren't going to offer the service shortly. We're right to ask the question, says Andy. Well, you would think, I mean, if it's going to happen, surely it would be nice if we actually knew, rather than, you know, we're stopping this coming Friday, and what it's all about. Manx Care are getting more money and have more staff, but are cutting services and growing waiting lists. It'll be interesting to hear election candidates suggesting their solutions. Seems the current MHKs will do nothing now. Does the Green Final go back as far as the late 60s or 70s on the Eye Museum? I can only find as far as 63, 64, says Nigel. Yes, I think they're gradually doing it year by year. They're coming forwards into the 1960s now. It does go back a long way. So they've got to scan everything and digitise it and what have you. But yeah, 63, 64. Thank you, Nigel. I think the best advice to give anybody living on the Isle of Man, especially youngsters just leaving education, is get a private pension and get private health cover, says Sue in Balaff. Well, lots of people do have private health cover. An awful lot of people have private health cover. People who work in the finance sector are often offered private health cover as part of their terms and conditions, as part of their salary package. The only trouble is we don't have a private hospital anymore. We used to have a private ward at Nobles Hospital, but now what happens is typically people are taken off the Isle of Man, either go to hospitals in the northwest or further afield. Lots of people go to the Spire hospitals on the Wirral and elsewhere. So the insurance companies, you would have thought, will have something to say about that. But we don't quite know what's going to happen with the private ward at Nobles Hospital or in the future. But it is a fact that a significant proportion of the working population does have private health cover. The Bernahara Road has been wrecked by closure for months on the main road from St Jude's to Andrus. It was riddled with potholes before, but even the grassed vergers are wrecked, despite most residents taking care to cut the grass. It's a shocking way to treat residents, and nobody appears to care, says Chris. In Andrus, I see the Isle of Man has only one solution to its problems, and that's the gas field in the waters. It would sort out its infrastructure, such as roads and the healthcare system. We could also get new ideas in place for future ventures to bring in tourism and sort out our third world looking towns. Especially Ramsey and Douglas, says Gary in Ramsey. That's Gary's opinion on that. Well, we come back to the gas field. Or our national gas field. Chris Thomas always refers to it. Chris Thomas, the Douglas Central MHK, always refers to it as the Isle of Man National Gas Field. It's our gas. The gas is there. But as it stands at the moment, no plans. Not even tentative plans. David's on now. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy, and it's not to do with politics, but indirectly, I want to ask, there was an article in from Manx Radio regarding sport and how much the Department of Education ploughed into sport, and it's going down. And I just wondered if anybody had any reasons why that's happening, or somebody from that's in education could actually tell us why they're doing that. Because only last week, last Saturday, and the Saturday before that, believe it or not, we had four Germans come to the Onken match in the stadium. And I couldn't actually believe it when I spoke to the lads on a bit of a, you know, like you do, and a bit of broken English and whatever. And we give them an old-fashioned shirt. We have some spare shirts, and what we do with them normally is we either send them to place in Africa or whatever as a donation.
Yeah.
But this particular ones, they were from Germany, and I'm just wondering. I never got the details from the lads. And the previous week, we had two that came over to watch the Isle of Man match. Of course, it was cancelled.
Yeah.
And they came to Onken.
Well, I've been at the bowl when you can walk around and often you'll see, as you say, three or four people babbling away in German. And they are, well, I think they call them groundhoppers. They're people who just want to go to as many grounds as possible. A, because they love football. And B, in German, they'll probably know about the Isle of Man from the TT. So there's two connections. But that's the power of sport. Sport doesn't need a language, David. It's international.
Yeah, but listen, what is, and back to politics now, what is our government doing to push the Isle of Man as a status, where we are, what we do, things that happen like the TT, you know, we're not going to go to 20 miles an hour, are we, for the TT? You can ask her that tomorrow, as she bought the signs, but just, you look at how many kids, girls, women, men, veterans playing sport now.
Yeah.
Basketball, netball, all over the place.
Oh, everything to walking football, things like that.
Yeah, well, I've tried walking football. It's very thing on the thing. But with my bionic kneecap now, I probably can't do it. I probably get tackled too much anyway. But I've got to be careful. But can I just say out there to people there, if they know anybody that's out there, it's connected with all sorts of organizations, you know, they need to channel in to the Isle of Man, and we can actually, maybe some of the clubs could twin with them. It's not beyond the Isle of Man's or clubs of the Isle of Man who would love to twin with somebody, and I'd love to twin with somebody in Europe for Onken. That's only my opinion.
Well, the fact is that, you know, we've got a great heritage, you know, in cycling, in motorsport.
Oh, yeah.
There are lots and lots. Even now, you know, the Bevan Rod and people like that playing in rugby that used to, you know, from the Isle of Man. We've got we overrepresent ourselves in sport. And I think sometimes we take that a bit for granted, David.
Yeah. And the other thing which I found was amazing when we had the Maserati people here, and we also had the other ones, Porsche, and clubs that come here just to experience, to go around the island and be on the course, toodle round, and then the government doesn't help them. This is for a fact, I know for a fact on this. One of the clubs and organisations last year wanted to parade their vehicles down on the promenade. Could they get any help from the DOI? Or even just to say, you can do it, but it's a couple of hours and you're gone. The answer was no. You know what it is, Andy? Too much hard work. Or as they say, and it's a well-known saying as far as I'm concerned now, when I say to politicians now, don't tell me what you can't do. Can you tell me what you can do?
Yeah.
And that's what we want. We want people that can do.
But we need to be proactive, and sport is a perfect vehicle for that, David.
It is. You look at Cavendish, how far he went.
Oh, crikey. I mean, that's the thing is the whole story of Mark Cavendish and you know, what he represents for the Isle of Man now. He is our cycling equivalent of the Bee Gees. Everybody knows who Mark Cavendish is now.
Yeah. And listen, I lived in Williston. When the Bee Gees were around, the only saddest thing for me, when I was so young, I didn't know who they were.
I thought you were going to tell me you sang with them at one point.
Listen, have you heard me singing in karaoke? And I don't drink before anybody has a go at me, like. Okay. But I'm terrible.
Right.
I can't sing, mate. But I'm looking forward to tomorrow, as many people are on the island.
All right, we'll see all what right. happens. Good to hear from you. Thanks, David.
Cheers.
Now, 20 to 1 it is, of course, next year. And thanks also to Gary, who says, remember, next year is Island Games Year, 2027 Island Games Year. I think it's, is it the Faroe Islands it's going to be? 2027 edition of the Games. I think we're going to be in Anglesey for Ernest Munn, weren't they, first of all? But they backed out of it, so the Faroe Islands for the 2027 Island Games. And no doubt the participants and teams are already practising, already getting everything and training for that in for the Island Games next year. Here's Scott with us now. Hi, Scott.
Good afternoon, sir. How are we doing?
Very well. What's on your mind?
I was just listening to you earlier about private care.
Yeah.
Just over a year ago, I was diagnosed with a basal melanoma, form of skin cancer on my arm. I'd been to Nobles, seen the specialists, had all the things done, and it kept getting called back and postponed, come back. And then I went there, the last time I went, I saw the surgeon, and he happened to mention if I had private health care, this was on the Thursday, that if I did, he could do the surgery on the Saturday, 2 days later. So I then contacted Kestrel, who I have life insurance with and a policy. I spoke to them, and within, I think it was 3 weeks, I was in Madrid having the operation done.
Madrid?
Madrid. It's called Global Care through Aviva, and yes, they only use hospitals in Germany, France, and Madrid. And I had a taxi from my front door to the airport, from the airport to a hotel, to the hospital and back, and I was there for a week and returned back to my front door.
And how are you feeling now? What's the situation?
Yeah, no, it's good. It's been a year, and I'm due to go back in April again just for a checkup.
And did you know you got this? Did you know you got this sort of cover?
I forgot. I'd never used it. Only when he said it, I thought, hang on, I'm sure I took out with Kestra, I took out a life insurance and a healthcare policy. So I rang them and they said, in fact, I did. And it covered me for cancer. So, yes, I was up and over, gone within 3 weeks, surgery done and back.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so yeah, like you say, if people want to get private care, Kestrel through Aviva can't complain. It was fantastic.
Good. All right. Well, Scott, we wish you... And how was Madrid, by the way? Did you enjoy it there?
It was fantastic. I must admit, first time I've been, it was good.
All right.
And the hospital was unbelievable. It was more like a... Yeah, it was phenomenal.
All right. Scott, we enjoyed that. Thanks for calling today.
Cheers, Paul. Bye.
Good to hear from you. 17 minutes for one. By the way, other insurance brokers and companies do offer services. But it's nice to know, isn't it? Do our MHKs have private medical cover as part of their package, said David? Don't know. Is it true the DOI highway staff levels have dropped from over 200 to under 60? If so, how can we expect any improvements? Maybe one for the DOI minister, Michelle Hayward. I'll put that on the pile for tomorrow. We've got quite a few. Regarding private medical insurance, says Andy, it's okay while you're working for a business, but when you retire and are then most likely to start needing healthcare, you won't be covered. Also, if you're paying PMI premiums, private medical insurance premiums, you'll be paying NI for no health benefit. The system looks like it's being modelled on what the US president is doing over there. I live in a cul-de-sac, says Pete, where the road's unadopted and in a very bad state, with some rather large potholes. Government isn't prepared to do anything about it unless all the properties make a financial contribution. I've spoken to someone who spent most of their working life in the legal profession, who told me there'd have to be a bond lodged at the time the estate was built to cater for a situation like this. Unfortunately, I've been unable to find anybody in authority who will admit that a bond was actually lodged. I wonder if anybody listening today can suggest what can be done. Well, this is quite a common problem because there are quite a few unadopted roads. Back alleys, roads, sometimes roads, quite wide roads in front of properties. So if you have any experience of this, or you can lead us to a conclusion, we'd really appreciate it. Unadopted roads and bonds. What's the story?
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
At Holmes and Davidson Opticians in Douglas, we see more, so you can too. Our advanced eye examinations go beyond the standard checkup, using state-of-the-art Heidelberg 4D retinal imaging and Eidon ultrawide field technology to detect early signs of eye disease before symptoms even appear. We're the Isle of Man's trusted experts in eye health, because your vision deserves more than average. Book your advanced eye exam today at Holmes and Davidson Douglas. Clarity. Care. Cutting-edge technology.
SMS Trading. New and second-hand furniture from flat-pack to fully built. See our range at 3 St Paul Square, Ramsey. All-island delivery and man-in-a-van service available. Call SMS Trading on 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
Manx Solar Electrical offer wise solar and heating solutions for home and business. We're the Isle of Man's trusted experts in solar panels, Tesla battery storage and energy efficient heat pumps, helping you power your home sustainably and save money. Call 665-800 or visit manxsolarelectrical.com.
Come to Manx Solar Electrical.
Our island's energy reimagined.
When you want the best.
Darker days and damper conditions require more action. Make sure you carry out your vehicle safety checks this winter. Think powders. P, petrol and diesel. O, oil. W, water. D, damage. E, electrics. R, rubber. S, self.
Make sure your lights are all working too. Brought to you by Quayside Tyres in conjunction with Isle of Man Road Safety.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 30 minutes before one. A question for Dr. Hayward tomorrow. Why are local motorcycle clubs now banned from holding motorcycle events in quarries? Quarries in the past have been training grounds for Manx World Motorcycle Champions. Could you find out for that? I'll put that on the list. Or if you want to call in tomorrow, by all means, do. A note in from Peel and St John's. Are full of Germans. You've got to be an old fella to get that. Thank you, Dick. Good to hear from you. Reference the ear syringe. At my practice, no longer offer water treatment. They suggest olive oil to soften the earwax, says Chris. And Manx Care now exists to provide well-paid work for those inside it, rather than the good service for those that use it. The costs don't lie, says Texter 505. Well, I'm sure they'd argue the other side, that the Manx Care is there to do what it says, to care for Manx people. It was created by the government. Remember, there was a report. There was hired a very expensive guy to write the report, Jonathan Michaels, which said they need to separate the operational from the political, which is what they've done. And we are where we are. They did leaflets. This is Texter 963. They did have leaflets in GP surgeries, which came down from Manx Care with a whole pamphlet of what they will and won't provide. The alternative is to buy the treatment yourself or to pay privately if it's a medical procedure. What nobody will state is how people on benefits or old age pensioners, senior citizens, will pay for them. Many of these treatments run into hundreds of pounds, which means if you're poor, there's now a two-tier medical system and you have to choose between food, fuel or medical care. I stand to be corrected, says 963, but did all this come in when Laurie Hooper was head of the DHSC? I don't know. Texter 963, but I'm sure we'll find out. Ramsey Group Practice hasn't syringed ears for a couple of years. I had to pay £70 to get it done. It's not very fair when people in the South get it on the NHS. Remember, Michelle Haywood's on tomorrow. Oh, and thank you to... It was Philip who just said, did we get a conclusion on the school staff and UCIOM? Are they going to be paid for the school closure? Yes. Department of Education, Sport and Cultures has reassured teachers, lecturers and school and UCM staff that in line with long-standing practice, they will be paid when schools and the college close due to adverse weather. Following the closure of all state-run schools and UCM last Monday due to snow, some staff sought clarification about pay, followed a routine all-staff bulletin outlining the public services policy on attendance during adverse weather. The policy makes it clear that DESC has separate protocols for schools and teaching staff. Everybody's going to get paid now. Manx.net is... Oh, crikey. Manx.net. Be prepared. Manx.net email users have got until next week to register with the new provider or risk having their accounts deleted. Remember, Manx Telecom last October said the service is moving to Janara. Janara have bought it. Those wishing to keep their account need to pay £65 per year. The new improved price. Kevin is a digital inclusion officer at Live at Home, the charity, and he's helped about 30 elderly residents with a transition. And he says the majority of them are unhappy with the change.
Some people have had a nice email address and they'd like the Manx bit of it. And even though £65 a year may not seem a lot to some people, but to others who, you know, limited resources, it can be quite a hefty sum to put out in one go. The main part of my job is helping mainly elderly people get to terms with sort of technology, and moving this email to another provider has been very awkward because, like I said earlier, the number of things that you have to notify about a change of email address now is incredible. That's the hardest bit for them, is just going through everybody that they've got to notify. So far, I've seen about 30 people. Some of them have decided to stay with Manxnet because of all the hassle of changing, but a lot, about 50%, I think, have decided to move. So I've helped them go through their sort of list of important contacts that they need to do.
We've also been reporting about some spam emails that we're getting into those Manx.net inboxes as well. Have you had to deal with any of those?
Yeah, people have sort of highlighted certain emails and wanted to know if they're legitimate or not. And the trouble with sort of spam stuff, the bad guys are getting better and better. One of the main sort of techniques is really pressurising people. So there will be sort of spam emails coming out pretending to be from Manx Telecom or Janara saying, look, you know, you've got to do this now. Part of the job, I've given talks sort of how to recognise scams and whatever. I think last year it was something like about 2.25 million was reported on the island, the value of scams, and that was just what was reported.
The new improved price starts next week. If you want a Manx.net account, there we are, £65 per year. It will be yours. It was free. Do you remember? That was part of the deal. It was trumpeted. Get a Manx Telecom landline and you get as many Manx.net emails as you want. Times change, eh? I've got no problem with the basic provision of free period products to any female in need, but I just wonder if the MHK who is bringing this bill forward has fully costed the annual amount of providing such a scheme, which will also be very hard to control any abuse, which I think is bound to occur. This is Phil, who just said, from the initial setup, how many management positions will be created, plus the manual labour for installation of dispensing machines, maintenance, restocking? How many additional motor vehicles, electric or otherwise, will be required to cover the island venues where such machines will be installed? What extra costs will be involved in restocking machines out of working hours? In a recent Manx Radio interview, the MHK, it's Joni Farragher, the MHK, appeared quite smug when stating after a meeting with GARF commissioners that there will be no cost to local authorities as the cost will be borne by central government. therefore the Manx taxpayer. Even Garth commissioners were concerned about abuse and antisocial behaviour at facilities in public toilets. I've spoken to a few female friends about how they coped when they commenced their monthly cycle. Whilst it was difficult at first and sometimes embarrassing, once they got used to the event approaching, they carry appropriate products with them to use when required and carry a spare in case of emergency. I'm not against the scheme in principle, but I'm concerned that the costs just haven't been thought out and will increase disproportionately and become another burden on the already overtaxed population of the Isle of Man. This is Joni Farragher's bill, which will provide female sanitary products free of charge. And we don't quite know where it's going to be, or we don't know the machines or what have you, or how, again, what the... how you can mitigate any bad behaviour around the machines. At the moment, we just don't know it. And thanks to Amy, who dropped me a note in just to say, is it true that the steam packet is going to Larne? Yes, it is. They've unveiled the new schedule for 26-27. Ben McCree will pilot passenger and freight services to Ireland, including Dublin and Larne. Manannan and Manxman will be free to increase the number of crossings to Liverpool and Heysham. Yes, you will be able to get to Dublin and Larne on the Ben McCree. So, tomorrow... it is the Infrastructure Minister, Michelle Haywood MHK, one of the Russian MHKs, will be next on Man in Line. If you have a question you'd like me to put to Michelle Haywood, you can get in touch. You can call, of course, live tomorrow and take your chances.
When the Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
I was just going to say that. Yes, you can. You can call the answer phone on 682 631 or email maninline@manxradio.com. DOI's role in Ireland life is very, very wide. The Liverpool landing stage, bus vanning, the railways, the trams, highway maintenance, public recycling, the proposed 20-mile-per-hour speed limit. Being talked to Michelle Haywood tomorrow on Man in Line. Thanks to Clive. He said, I thought it was great years ago when Manx.net addresses were free. I've got 15 of them. 15 for different family members. I don't think I'm going to be paying 15 lots of £65. Well, you better get to it, Clive. That's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.
WINT.